Ooh-wee, Ben, I am full.
Yeah, man. Thanksgiving, Chinese food.
Yeah. It's crazy how we have to go to Chinese all the time in order to get our fortune for the week.
I know. I don't even know what's going on with my life until I've eaten a fortune cookie and read the little nasty piece of paper inside.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if somebody would go eat Chinese every day for us? So we wouldn't have to worry about going back to the buffet or the carryout place every single day?
Well, maybe we can do that for everybody else so that nobody else has to eat all that Chinese food for us.
Sounds like the burden of a couple of cousins who have a podcast.
Well, hey, everybody, starting January 1st, you can expect a new daily podcast from Ben and Jason. That's us, by the way.
Yeah, hey.
Called The Fortune Cookie Podcast. And basically, we're just going to give you we're going to open a fortune cookie. We're going to give you the fortune. We're going to talk about it for a minute, and it's going to be less than 5 minutes, and you'll be good to go. And it's daily. So if you've ever wondered, I wonder what's going to happen for me today. You'll still probably wonder, but at least you'll know what the fortune cookie says.
Exactly. We'll have some lucky numbers and, hey, maybe even a Chinese word to learn.
Head on over to cookiepodcast.com and sign up for the mailing list to be alerted when we launch.
Yeah, and we're on Twitter at Cookie Podcast and Instagram at Cookie Podcast. Election College, Episode 41. McKinley is assassinated. Theodore Roosevelt becomes president.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Hey, Ben, it's 1901.
Uh-huh, yeah, 1901. William McKinley just got in for his second term in office. His inauguration was a pretty big to-do.
Yeah, they even had some video and stuff like that you can look up on ye old internet, and you can celebrate.
Yeah, there's some audio out there, too, of some of the times when McKinley would just sit on his porch. Old Bill would just, you know, sit there and talk to everybody like we talked about in the last couple episodes. And there's actually some audio of that as well, which is kind of cool. And then right after the inauguration, Bill and Ida, that's his wife, they went on this big six-week tour of the nation.
After all, that's what you do when you win the presidency for the second time. You go west.
Wouldn't he have had like work to do or something?
No, because he won.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all over. And it's good. Isn't it also interesting that when people run for office, even if they're already in office, they're just like, I'm just going to suspend my duties for a few months while I run.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Why not?
I don't know that that's what he did, but it certainly happens.
So Bill and Ida, they are out traveling around, and not sure if we mentioned this in the last podcast, but Mrs. McKinley had a number of health issues all throughout her life. So she always traveled with the president, and even before that. And I just think this is one of the most noble things that a man could do for his wife. He would actually have her seated next to him at the table for important meals. And up until this time, that was not looked upon as something that you did. The first lady would be on the other side of the room. But Mrs. McKinley would sit right next to him. And when she would have a seizure, her face would contort, and it just wasn't something that, it might be embarrassing. He would gently cover her face and allow the seizure to subside, and then just treat it as something normal. And you can imagine that he was somebody who she loved dearly, and he loved her as well. So kind of a neat story about the McKinleys, and there's a lot you can read about that.
Yeah, definitely. And so while they're on this the 6-week tour of the nation, they're in California, and the first lady fell ill, and more complications from the problems she already had. And so there's a point where McKinley just has to say, well, we're going to limit the public events. A lot of the speeches we've already got planned out and that are really important to me are going to have to wait because this is more important to me right now. And then he had also been planning to go to a fair, which a fair was a little different back in the day than it is now. It wasn't just a week long. It was more of an event of more length, a longer length, and mm-hmm. more of a to-do, really, than just a gathering of concession stands. And so they ended up planning that out until September. And then they also planned the month in Washington and a couple in Canton, and then they're going to go to Buffalo, and that's kind of where they're at this point.
Yeah, so the fair, the Pan American Exposition is what it was called, and it was in Buffalo that year. And originally they were supposed to go there in June, but like Ben said, they didn't get there until September. So this is the conclusion of just this whirlwind cross-country tour. And McKinley really loved being with the people. So his secretary was very concerned because during this time, and keep in mind, this is after the Spanish-American War, and World War One was way off into the future. I don't even know what I'm talking about by saying World War One. What's that?
It's an anachronism. That's what it is.
So, but you have relative peace going on in the world, except for some assassinations, which are occurring by anarchists in Europe. So President McKinley's secretary is like, dude, listen, you need some security detail. And McKinley is like, no, I want to be with the people. That's not going to happen. We're Americans after all. We don't assassinate our presidents, right?
Right. I mean, there's no track record for that at all, ever.
No.
So on September 5th, the president was supposed to go to the fairgrounds, and there's going to be a lot of people there. And like Jason said, McKinley refused to have any extra security. But just because he did what he did, the secretary actually arranged some additional security for the trip just in case. And so he's giving this speech. He's encouraging people to have reciprocity treaties with other nations. Mm-hmm. He wants to make sure that we're able to get into foreign markets, the things we need from foreign markets are able to come into the United States. And he really just kind of lays out his plans for the future, talks about what he wants to do in his second term, just kind of lays out almost like a State of the Union, but it wasn't the official State of the Union address. And it's kind of interesting that it was at an event, but it was a really big to do. It's like I said, it's much different than a fair that we're familiar with today. And so he's just like, here's what I'm going to do. And I hope everybody loves it. Every person here.
Yeah. And most people did.
Pretty much everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's this one guy in the crowd, and he is a Polish immigrant. His name is Leon Czolgosz.
I think from now on we should just call him Leon because I can't say that word.
Yeah, it's C-Z-O-L-G-O-S-Z. So, of course, the ch sound is in there. So he was an anarchist, and he really became invigorated by hearing a speech back in Cleveland from an anarchist. Her name was Emma Goldman. And he's like, hey, I really like what you have to say, Emma. I'm an anarchist too. And I'm going to do something really heroic.
Yeah, the logical thing to do when you want to do something heroic is murder the leader of the free world.
Right. So Leon is like, how am I going to do this? Well, I'm going to meet the president because, mm-hmm. hey, he's a pretty personal guy.
Yeah, and so he works up some guts on that the 5th, the day September the 5th, the day that he gave the speech, that McKinley gave the speech, and he scoots on up to the podium where he's giving the speech, and he gets a little closer, and then he gets a little closer, and he just can't get close enough to know that he can get away with his assassination attempt. So he just kind of leaves.
Yeah, he waits till the next day, and McKinley is receiving people. He's meeting the public, and they're at this structure called the Temple of Music, which was on the exposition grounds. Mm-hmm. And Leon has this gun. It's concealed in a handkerchief, and McKinley's like, hey.
Nice to meet you.
Bang, bang. He shoots McKinley twice in the abdomen.
I am still just kind of perplexed by so many people who would try to assassinate people, shoot them in the abdomen.
Right.
Because there are so many people, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say this, even though it's pretty logical. There are so many people who have been shot in the abdomen and lived for a long time. Like they've been fine.
Yeah.
I guess it's just a quick draw kind of thing.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it's trying to make sense of a madman.
Right.
So
yeah, I guess probably shouldn't even bother.
So McKinley gets shot and he's like, hey, guys, the friendly guys, mm-hmm. his aides, he's like, break the news gently to Ida. And he really was like, don't go after Leon.
Yeah. He tells everybody, he kind of like calls off the dogs almost, like leave Leon alone. And they probably would have beat him to death or, you know, put him to death in some way pretty quickly therefore or thereafter if McKinley hadn't said that. But he said basically, you know, let him run. And then he was taken to the first aid station on the exposition grounds. And the doctor just couldn't locate the second bullet. I guess they got the first out, but couldn't get the first one. And the crazy thing, Jason, this is really interesting. And these expositions were, well, they were just that. They were expositions and a lot of different new feats and different types of wonders that you would see around. But they also unveiled a lot of new technology. And
this is like where the hoverboard would be.
Exactly. Yeah.
In our day.
It's almost like, what are those called? Like, I can't even say the name of them. One of those big conventions where something happens, like, you know, an Apple press conference, but a week long. And
right.
Yeah.
Usually in Las Vegas.
Usually in Las Vegas. Like yeah. And so, these expositions where you hear a lot of times, like, this was unveiled at the 1923 World Fair, kind of like that. And so they've actually got this primitive X-ray machine, this one of the first X-ray machines that are coming into play. And they've got the second bullet they can't find. And the X-ray machine is being exhibited on the grounds of the place, and they didn't use it. They didn't even try it. I don't even know if they thought of it.
That's crazy. It reminds me almost of, I mean, in hindsight, it's 2020, but you remember how Edison had invented a metal detector, and he was going to use it on President Garfield.
Right.
And they were saying, like, he would only check the other side of them.
Right.
Well, and why would you have them in a metal bed?
Right, yeah, but exactly.
Anyway, so yeah, it's, you know, it's 1901. They don't have all of the medical advances that we have now. And gangrene is setting in the president's stomach, and it's slowly poisoning him. And on the morning of September 13th, he took a really bad turn for the worst, and by 2 a.m. on the 14th, the president is dead.
Yeah, and it was such a blow to the entire nation, because up until that point, and I mean, gangrene works slowly and quickly at the same time. It works; it's hidden for a long time, and then all of a sudden, you understand. Oh, here it is; it's going to kill. But he really seemed to have improved, and the doctors would send out positive things. The cabinet rushed to Buffalo to see him, and Vice President Roosevelt rushed to Buffalo to see him. And then they're all like, oh, well, he's getting better. And so they all leave. Like, everybody leaves. Teddy Roosevelt went on a camping trip in the Adirondacks. And so a little while later, someone said, it was difficult to interpret the optimism with which the president's physicians looked for his recovery. And so, like, he says there's this obvious danger that all of the wounds, or, you know, that the wounds that the president have are going to get infected and are going to cause some serious issues. But this Dr. McBurney guy just really reassures everyone. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. He's this big city surgeon from Buffalo that everybody respects. And the American public's like, oh, we believe this guy. He's getting better. The president's going to be all right. Nothing to worry about. Bam, he's dead.
Yeah. Such a shock. And the vice president, Theodore Roosevelt, is in the Adirondack region. Sorry, New Yorkers, for butchering the name of the Adirondacks. He quickly makes his way to Buffalo and is inaugurated. And Leon, the assassin, is quickly charged with first-degree murder. And get this, Ben, so he's incarcerated, right? And he's interacting with people. He's talking to the guards and everybody. But he's not talking to his defense.
Right.
And he's
it's almost
just,
like he wanted to be.
Yeah, he had that martyr thing going on where he's like, okay, I'm the man for the cause of anarchy and don't defend me.
Right.
So they quickly electrocute him. Just a few weeks later.
The murder was on what, September 6th? The shooting was on September 6th. And then September 14th, McKinley dies.
Yeah.
September 26th, they sentence the guy to death, and about a month later, they actually electrocute him.
Yeah, it's the 29th of October, so just 45 days after McKinley passes.
And I mean, I know there are all sorts of varying opinions on the electric chair and, or I guess, you know, the death penalty in general. But at this day, in this day and age, you literally saw him shoot the president. It was like, well, there's really no question of whether or not he did it or not. So we're going to kill him.
Yeah. I'm surprised that it was handled by the judicial system instead.
Exactly.
So McKinley is buried in Canton, Ohio. His final resting place is there. And kind of interesting. It's quite a memorial. We actually had a listener take some photographs of the historic site there in Ohio of McKinley's resting place. And by the way, whenever you're at a national park or, you know, we're going to be talking about Theodore Roosevelt soon and some of the things he did for conservation and things like that. And then many of us live near presidential sites. We love to see the pictures of those. So do tag us when you're at those locations. It's definitely interesting to Ben and myself.
Absolutely. And there, the tomb was actually, crazy enough, before McKinley was even buried, they had already started designing and planning for the tomb and multiple different statues. And so once again, we see this kind of really large procession for the funeral march, essentially. The casket makes its way to Washington. It goes to the East Room. It goes to the Capitol building. And then it goes to Canton. And then a bunch of people go by it in the rotunda at the Capitol, which is huge, by the way. Have you ever been there?
The U.S. Capitol, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to Reagan's funeral.
That's right. I forgot you went to Reagan's funeral.
Yeah.
A ton of people went by train and came from all over the country. It goes on and on. They take him back to his family's house where they can say their final respects. And then they take him to the cemetery where he is. They put him in the memorial that's the area where the memorial will be that, like I said, had already started being planned.
Yeah, and we mentioned how Ida had her health issues throughout her life. And of course, you can imagine she really lost her best friend. And she died just a few years later in 1907 at the age of 59. So really, young in her own right, and they are both buried there with their daughters. And if you remember from the last episode, we had talked about how their daughters passed very early in life. McKinley, I don't know if you knew this, Ben, but he's on the $500 bill.
I did know that. Not that I've ever held one in my hand, but I have seen in images.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of money.
Yep.
You know what is a free way you can help support Election College?
I have a feeling I do. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell me?
So, not to sound overly commercial, because that's certainly not Ben and mine's goal in this podcast, but if you'd like to support the podcast, you can by shopping online at Amazon. If you go to electioncollege.com/Amazon, that actually sends you to Amazon.com. You'll never know it. Only us and Amazon know this. But we actually have an affiliate account set up with our friends at Amazon. So we do get a little bit of a cut anytime you use our affiliate link.
That's right. And believe it or not, it's small, but it's a nice little cut. Costs you nothing extra, and it helps us out and helps us continue to do this show, expand shows, do shows like the upcoming Fortune Cookie podcast, and a few more as well.
Yeah. Anything else to say about President McKinley?
I think that's everything I have.
Very good. Well, do connect with us. We are, of course, at electioncollege.com on social media, on Ye Old Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Election College.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next time.
See you later.